Grandpa Grumps refused to listen. Nana West told him he was too old to go on the search and that he'd only get in the way, but he said, "I've got eyes that can spot a bird on the highest branch and ears that can hear a cricket in the outfield. I'm going to go look for our grandson." And when the search commander said it would be against procedure to have an untrained elderly gentleman on the team, he retorted, "I'll make my own team then and go looking for my grandson." And even though his body ached, muscles weary, joints sore, voice raspy from yelling, Grandpa Grumps pushed on. Even when he thought the others might have been right, he pushed on. "I know my grandson better than anyone. Know these woods better, too," he told himself, looking as far as he could into the tangle of branches and tree trunks that crowded in on the hermit's trail. "Won't give up." He stumbled on over the network of roots that were forever tripping him up. "Darn," he cursed, just managing to keep his balance, propping himself with his cane. He'd left his walker parked at the entrance to the trail, but without it, his progress was an exhausting blunder from one near fall to the next. "Lincoln," he called out, disheartened at how feeble his voice sounded in his own ears. "Pathetic," he sighed. Steadying himself with both hands on his cane like a human tripod, he looked round to get his bearings. The winding track he'd followed curved out of sight ahead and behind. He mopped his brow on his sleeve to get the stinging sweat out of his eyes. "Come on, man, think," he said impatiently. "Where would Lincoln go?" As if in answer, a crow suddenly appeared, flapping in a panicked attempt to find a suitable perch on an overarching branch. "Caw, caw, caw," it shouted, tipped almost upside down. It clacked at him crossly, as if judging him to be a particularly stupid human. Grandpa Grumps wasn't one to believe in talking birds. At least, he hadn't been till then. But the crow was so frantic and persistent he couldn't ignore it. He examined more closely the tangle of underbrush where it had landed. And there it was, the faintest of trailheads. "Is that where you want me to go?" he asked. "Caw, caw, caw," Corvus affirmed desperately. Grandpa Grumps didn't hesitate. He attacked the resisting underbrush with his cane, swept it aside with his bare hands. "Lincoln," he shouted, his cries absorbed by the moss, ferns, and leaves barring his way. He fell, struggled to his feet, fell again. His hands bled, their skin torn by branches and thorns, and with each fall, his struggles to get up became more impossible until he simply had to rest, slumped on the forest floor, not knowing what to do. "Caw, caw, caw," Corvus urged from behind. "Get up," the furious bird demanded. "Get up now." Grunting, Grandpa Grumps righted himself one last time. "Get help," the crow's raucous cries persisted. "Quick, get help." Tottering back onto the main trail, Grandpa Grumps made his unsteady way toward town, back to the only place where he might find someone to believe his crazy tale, home. He was astonished but grateful when Corvus roosted on his shoulder, chattering encouragements in his right ear. "Hurry, hurry," Grandpa Grump's companion cawed. "There's not a moment to lose." That Corvus was a bird of omen, Lincoln's grandfather knew in his heart. What he dreaded to find out, however, was if the raucous crow was leading him to good news or something too horrible to think.